SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It's a Football Friday on FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He's the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Joe, week number 4 of the National Football League season underway, getting kicked off last night in Green Bay between the Packers and the Lions. Is it a changing time in the NFC North? We'll break down what happened on Thursday night football. We'll set up the Sunday slate as well. And, of course, it's weekend number 5. Of the college football season with a game on Friday, Joe. A top 20 tilt in Corvallis between Oregon State, number 19 in the nation, against 10th-ranked Utah. Lisi, what a football Friday we have in store.
Oh, amazing. And the college slate tonight is fantastic. Woo! Cincinnati, BYU in terms of late night action, going to keep me up all night before college football today. But in terms of the NFL side, right, I mean, what a dominant win, road win by Detroit to step up, force the game on Jordan Love and that offense for Green Bay. They couldn't do it. David Montgomery, what a huge night, 3 touchdowns on the ground. And now they've won 4 straight in terms of the series over the Green Bay Packers and deserving in terms of the front runners of the division, Ben. So a fantastic week of college and NFL action.
Yeah, Joe, Thursday night football in Lambeau was representative of many things. The fact Detroit has owned Green Bay here over the last 2+ seasons under Dan Campbell. Now 4 consecutive victories for the Lions over the Packers. Last night, 34-20, the final in favor of Detroit, who covered as a 2-point favorite. And every instance, Joe, was almost a bigger representation of what the times are now in the National Football League. Only the 16th game since the start of 2008 for Green Bay, booked as a home dog in Lambeau. Why do we highlight the start of 2008? That's when Aaron Rodgers became the starting quarterback in Green Bay. But of course, it was the second home start as the new face of the franchise and the new quarterback for this Packers organization, Jordan Love. Detroit, a 2-point favorite. Only the 8th time, Joe, under Dan Campbell, the Lions have been booked as a favorite, now 5-3 straight up and against the number. Again, that is emblematic for Detroit, favored to win the football game, favored to win the division. The burden of proof, Joe, on Detroit to live up to the optimism and expectation. And last night was a resounding victory. How about the 2 road games this year, Joe, for Detroit? Both on a Thursday night. This one a short week. The Thursday night to open the year in Kansas City against the reigning Super Bowl champions. Detroit on Thursdays and on the road, Joe, a perfect 2-0 straight up and against the spread. So if there is that burden of proof, at least through the opening month for the Lions, Joe, they have backed up that expectation.
Yeah, and they've done it on the road with the rushing attack. On the road and with the rushing attack. But it's in a different way, right? It's not so much Jahmyr Gibbs in terms of, you know, getting his speed and athleticism out on the perimeter. It's the offensive line that's wearing down opposing defenses at the point of attack. And it's David Montgomery just bulldozing his way in terms of positive yardage. That benefits Jared Goff in the passing attack. And they don't have an elite. I'm sorry. I know. Outside of Sam Laporta, the new tight end, the wide receivers are good, but they're not elite. Josh Reynolds, Amon-Ra St. Brown are not the top in terms of the NFL, but all they do is make plays. They started slow last night. They get the interception to start the game. They bounce back ensuing drive, and they showed the ability to overcome adversity. They're a mature team now, and they understand what it takes to win, not just at home, but on the road as well.
We welcome in our Sirius XM audience here to Sports Grid Radio and Football Full Circle. Sirius XM channel 159. 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. It is FFC, a Football Friday on Football Full Circle. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Now, Jared Goff didn't have to do much last night, Joe. An interception on the first offensive possession for Detroit that was not a good one. Just didn't see underneath coverage through a pick that allowed the Packers to get a field goal out of it. But that Detroit defense did step up and hold Green Bay to only three. And from that point, the rest of the first half, it was all Detroit. 27 unanswered points, 27-3. Sam LaPorta over his receiving yards prop for a third consecutive game at this number of 44.5. Four grabs, 56 yards for the rookie tight end out of Iowa that currently leads all NFL tight ends in terms of receiving yards, which was the case at the end of week three, obviously now bolstered with the 56 he had last night. I am going to push back slightly, though, Joe. I do believe Amon-Ra St. Brown is one of the 10 best wide receivers in the National Football League, a guy you can flex out, a guy you can put in the slot. Last night, five grabs, 56 yards on seven targets and a touchdown. Again, modest relatively, but the previous 2 weeks, 102 yards in each of the past two for the Lions, a guy that finished top 10 in both receptions and targets last year, Joe, in 2022. But you're right, it was that ground game, 32 carries out of David Montgomery, 121 yards, three touchdowns. The Lions as a team, Joe, ran it for 211 yards. And at this point yesterday, Joe, we weren't exactly sure if David Montgomery was even going to play. We got the news he was going to suit up and give it a go. They used him all night last night in Green Bay. Some of that game script dependent because Detroit got up so much early and often. But again, 32 attempts for Montgomery, 121 yards, three scores.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I mean, it was such an unbelievable night because he looked 100% to me. And again, you talk about David Montgomery, the thunder and lightning duo with Gibbs in terms of the perimeter game. That's what it takes to succeed in terms of the NFL. That's what Green Bay had hoped to do last night. But credit the Detroit defense as well. They made Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon non-existent in terms of that ball game. They forced the game on Jordan Love, predictable long third downs, and he couldn't step up. You know, it looked like in the second half they made some adjustments, but just they trailed by 21 points in terms of the third quarter. That's such a deep hole in back-to-back weeks to come back from. You got to hope that LaFleur and the crew turn it around. But again, Dan Campbell has built this team. They now are the front runner in terms of the division and, more importantly, a contender in the NFC right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. And I think that's the overarching point, right? Green Bay's got some issues defending the run. Now the second worst rushing defense in the NFL. Only 12 carries for them as a team, 27 yards. And although it was a 14-point margin and Detroit covered, it never really felt all that tight. Green Bay scored early in the fourth to make it a 10-point game after failing to get the 2-point conversion. That was as close as it really got, Joe, through most of those final three quarters. The Lions entered Thursday Night Football, Joe, the favorites in the NFC North. Even money, plus 100, only 45 cents in front of Green Bay. The Packers, a plus 145 number. As we get ready for the rest of the NFL to play this Sunday, the Lions are minus 195 now, Joe. Nearly a $2 favorite to win the NFC North. Add on $2 to Green Bay. The Packers, plus 350. Joe, Detroit is trying to win a division in the National Football League for the first time in three decades. That win last night at Lambeau went a long way for the Lions.
It did. And again, you know, they're showing the mental resolve in terms of what it takes to win a division and, more importantly, compete for an NFC championship. So that's a testament to the coaching staff and Dan Campbell right now.
Fourth best number for Detroit to win the NFC at plus 850, but there's a pretty big gap between the top three, the Niners, Eagles, and Cowboys in the rest of that conference. We will preview the Week 4 Sunday slate up next here on Football Full Circle. We get you ready for everything you need to know week number four next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle. Let's set the stage, Joe Lisi, for week number four, Sunday slate around the National Football League. And Joe, the marquee matchup is early on a Sunday. It's not Sunday Night Football, despite the stars in attendance for the Jets and the Chiefs. It's in Western New York. Sunday in that early window, a 1 p.m. Eastern time kick. It's Buffalo and Miami. The Bills, Joe, a 3 50-point favorite. The over-under, the only one north of 50 this weekend, 53.5. A huge divisional game with huge implications, Joe, not only for just the AFC East, but maybe the conference as a whole, maybe the race for a Lombardi trophy overall. Joe, what do you expect? The Bills, a 3-point favorite at home.
Well, this is going to be a very difficult ball game. On paper, I lean to the Bills. I'm not betting this game in any capacity. Just because of the physicality, I still think at home, we know about the history of the Miami Dolphins, even going back to the days of Dan Marino, and you can even go further than that with David Woodley. They rarely win in Orchard Park. Doesn't matter how good or how lethal the offense is. It's the defense that somehow, some way, always finds a way to lose ball games. So, in this matchup, again, I lean to the under because I do feel both teams will want to run the football. Cook, in terms of the Buffalo Bills side, he's been getting more touches, not just in terms of the passing game, but in the rushing attack. And on the flip side, when you have Devon Achane and now Raheem Mostert, that dynamic 1-2 punch that basically accounted for about 7 or 8 touchdowns last week, I think that McDaniels wants to get both of them involved in regards to the offense on the ground as well. So give me the under, lean to Buffalo, but I don't love it, Ben.
Yeah, I think Buffalo wins the football game, Joe, but I do think that 3-point spread is pretty fair. I think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to be a great football game. The numbers should say that it is going to be an all-timer week number 4 of this regular season. Only a 3-point spread in favor of the home team, the highest total of the weekend at 53.5. I do lean Buffalo in that, but I will say this, Joe. If the Dolphins come out there and go on the road and win outright, as an underdog, wow. What is that going to do to our perception of this Miami team? The Dolphins are already the odds-on favorites, minus 135 to win the AFC East. Buffalo had won the division, Joe, each of the past 3 NFL seasons and entered 2023 as the divisional favorites. It was expected to be one of the best divisions in football, Joe. That was with Aaron Rodgers, of course, at the helm in New York. Clearly a race between these top two teams, not only in the division, but maybe in the AFC as a whole. And Joe, when you look at the AFC, Buffalo has the second best price, 5-1, only behind Kansas City. The Chiefs a plus 310 favorite. Miami only 50 cents behind Buffalo, plus 550. Regardless of the outcome, Joe, as we know, the National Football League is so week to week, and each Sunday is significant. Regardless of what the outcome is, Buffalo wins, Miami wins, these markets are going to change a ton by the time we end up week number 4.
Yeah, and we talked about it last night as well, that if Green Bay would have won that game, that market would have changed dramatically in regards to Detroit. So you're absolutely right. If Miami does pick up the win, I think it's obviously Kansas City and then Miami 1-2 right there, right? Yeah. At the end of the day, the way they could play up-tempo and the way they could slow it down, the way they did against New England, that chameleon type of offense really carries a lot in terms of a playoff type of situation or scenario. So This is a tough environment. They haven't had great success there. We know Josh Allen and this team have dominated them for the most part, even though they got the victory in South Beach last year. Not going to be easy, but if they could force some turnovers on the road, that offense could score with anybody. I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, okay, so if Buffalo dictates the tempo and they jump early, can they come from behind? Sure. Why not? Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, you know, that wasn't the situation years ago. So that's why they should be in this ball game, but still lean to the Bills to eke it out.
Jalen Waddle has cleared concussion protocol. He is set to play against Buffalo. He has had at least 78 receiving yards in each of his first 2 games this year for Miami. 78 week number 1 against the Chargers. 86 week number 2 was that leading wide receiver for Miami in the win over the Patriots. And again, if Miami wins this football game, they're off to a perfect 2-0 start this year in division. If Buffalo loses, Joe, they would be 0-2 with that disappointing opening Monday night effort in New York. So let's go there, Joe. If we could flex this game between Miami and Buffalo, would be Sunday Night Football without a shadow of the doubt. But that does not mean the stars will not be out Sunday night in MetLife. In fact, maybe the biggest pop star musician in the world, Taylor Swift, expected to be in attendance to support her new significant other, Travis Kelce. The Chiefs, though, from a football perspective, Joe, a 9.5 point favorite on the road in MetLife against the lifeless New York Jets with Zach Wilson as their quarterback. A total at 41.5. Joe, take Taylor Swift out of it. I know that's difficult for you to do. How do you break down this game on the actual gridiron?
Well, again, I mean, you know, we know the Jets don't have the firepower from the quarterback position to go toe-to-toe with Pat Mahomes, right? So you would have to think sustained drives, you know, limit the possessions from Pat Mahomes, Breece Hall, Dalvin Cook, you know, try to get into this game the way they had that New England put them into in terms of the game in MetLife, 15-10. I think that's a tough ask because we know Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce and that offense could break out at any given moment, and when your offense is as inconsistent as Zach Wilson and the Jets, and they can't convert on third downs, what does that mean? Pat Mahomes has more opportunities to eat in a short field. So this is a tough ask. Again, they're going to have to force turnovers. That would be the only way they cover this number, right? I think we're in agreement with that, unless they just run it 60 times and say, we're going to play an old-style Big Ten type of football, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I can only look Kansas City. I do feel, though, somehow, some way, we do get a lot of points. 42.5, I think, is a little cheap, especially for a primetime game. I'll lay it with Kansas City and give me the over 42 and a hook.
So here's the interesting thing, Joe, about what you said. I would agree. Knowing this Jets offense, you would think you would have to slow down the football game. But Kansas City has proven time and again over the last five, now 6 years, that to beat them, to stay up with them, you need to score with them. I'm just not sure how this Jets offense that has been defunct with Zach Wilson as the starting quarterback does just that. And unlike previous years, Joe, often Steve Spagnuolo defenses in Kansas City get better as the year goes along. They find their groove in December, into the postseason. This year, they're the fourth best scoring defense in the National Football League, allowing only 13.3 points per game. It's going to be even a tougher test for New York. But I do think Gangrene's defense, Joe, is in an impossible scenario, right? When you think about what the Jets did week number one, 4 turnovers of Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills to win that football game. Week number two, Dallas scored 30 points, but Dallas had so many takeaways of Zach Wilson, stifled that ground game of New York that I'll touch on in just a moment, and they scored 30, but 15 were via field goals. And this Jets team really was put into short fields, and that Jets defense, Joe, I thought won a lot of battles. And last week, New England only scored 13 offensive points. The Jets defense has had to be out there the entire time. The Jets defense has had to bail out a woeful offense of non-execution and non-productive point scoring on that board, Joe. I think the Jets defense is better, but if you're going to be out there for a ton against Kansas City, it's a very, very tall task. And I'll just say this, Joe. I agree. Run the football. Give Zach Wilson a life support, a line of support. Last week, 22 carries, 38 yards. The week prior, 64 yards on the ground, and Zach Wilson had 35 of them as New York's leading rusher. That has to be better. That's why you got Dalvin Cook. That's why you were so happy to see Breece Hall go off for 127 yards week number one against Buffalo. That ground attack must make inroads against Kansas City. All right, more. Week 4 NFL Sunday slate previews coming your way up next here on Football Full Circle. We'll break down everything, and I mean everything, you need to know for this upcoming Sunday in the National Football League. Come back and join us live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here, previewing the Week 4 Sunday slate around the NFL. We dive right in. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Joe, an interesting update out of Browns practice within the last 30, 45 minutes. Deshaun Watson, out on the practice field, threw one pass, walked right over to the trainer, said something, and now the expectation is that Dorian Thompson-Robinson is going to take the team one reps. And, Joe, we see that reflected in the price for a huge, significant game in the land weekend on Sunday between divisional opponents, the Browns and the Ravens. Cleveland right now, a 1.5-point favorite. Earlier today, Joe, 2.5, the total that was already small, 40.5, is now down by a full point as well, 39 in a hook. Joe, there might be some worries here that Deshaun Watson able to suit up and go on Sunday for the Browns.
Yeah, that's a huge cause of concern right now. I love Dorian Thompson-Robinson. If you haven't followed his career in college at UCLA and in the preseason, played very well, right? I mean, is a multi-dimensional type of quarterback. RPO, he can throw it, he can run it. A little turnover prone, and when you're going up against, you know, a veteran defense, that's always a cause of concern in this ball game, right? And everything is in front of Cleveland. It's amazing. Everything is hitting on all cylinders for this team. They get the loss on Monday night. They bounce back with a quality, dominating performance against Ryan Tannehill and the Titans. Yeah. Nick Chubb is out, and it's Lamar. I still lean to Cleveland because of the defensive side of the ball. The way Lamar played in the fourth quarter against, an average defense in Indianapolis, not elite. I don't think they're elite by any stretch. And he made poor decisions, especially in terms of the last 2 minutes in the overtime. That's why I still lean to the physicality of Cleveland. As long as DTR doesn't turn the football over, I think they grind out a win. But again, I'm not going to bet it now because of Deshaun potentially being out.
Yeah, Joe, I thought this game was going to be close. I still think it's going to be close, even if Deshaun is out. Injuries could be the story of this football game. The Ravens as banged up as you would see a team entering week number 4, and the Browns not feeling much better if Deshaun Watson not able to play. But the defense has been sensational this year, especially at home. 3 points week number 1 allowed against Cincinnati. 3 points last week against Tennessee. The Browns are the best scoring defense currently in the NFL, only allowing 10.7 points per game on average. It's why the total is minimal. It's why it is 39.5. Joe, when I think about how this game might play out in the absence of Deshaun Watson, DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, was sensational. Gave a lot of thrills during the preseason, as anybody that watched him at UCLA could well tell you. In this spot, though, that would be tough. And when you think about it, Joe, this is a huge game for both teams, obviously. It's a divisional matchup week number 4. But the Browns, by the end of this game, Joe, week number 4, will already have played 3 of their 6, half of their AFC North divisional games, and they're 1-1 so far, 2-1 straight up. The Ravens were able to beat the Bengals in their game week number 2. So very, very important from that perspective as well. The Ravens, the favorites in the division, plus 170. The Browns, 40 cents back, plus 210. Then Cincinnati at plus 380. Pittsburgh, Joe, brings up the rear, the fourth and longest price, but at plus 390. Again, these four teams, everybody in the division, separated by just over $2, showing how competitive it is going to be. So let's go to the Bengals up here next, Joe. A 2.5-point favorite on the road in Tennessee. The second straight AFC North game for the Titans, this one in Nashville. Joe, since he did what it had to do last week, Joe Burrow nursing that ailing right calf strain, gutted it out, wasn't pretty, wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they got their first victory. They avoided the trap that is starting 0-3, beating the Rams 19-16. Joe, what do you think since he does for an encore here? Because they need to start stacking up wins.
Yeah, I think they grind it out. Now, I don't think Joe Burrow looked 100%. A lot of the throws were short to intermediate. His main target for the first half was Tyler Boyd. Then he went to T. Higgins. He only had one big throw, I want to say, over 20 yards, and that is a concern. But the way the defense played against Matt Stafford and got pressure and sacked him and shut down Kyren Williams and the rushing attack, I got to be honest with you, I still lean to Cincinnati in this matchup. I mean, Ryan Tannehill, that passing attack, terrible. Derrick Henry, not really a main part of that offense the way we thought he would be this year. What's the identity of Tennessee? I mean, you know, last week was very telling. I mean, Ryan Tannehill doesn't lead them on a scoring drive in terms of a touchdown. They get 3 points. They basically get shut down by Cleveland, and this is still a top 15 defense, in my opinion, in Cincinnati. Even though they're playing in Nashville and it's a rematch of the playoff game, give me Burrow. Burrow and that team will find a way to at least win by a field goal, and that's why I lay it with the Bengals.
Yeah, I think this spread, when we look back on the season for the Bengals, who I still expect to be there at the end, Joe, we might say, oh, they were less than a field goal favorite against the Titans. Yeah, I get it's on the road in Nashville. I think Cincinnati comes to play. And yeah, Joe Burrow is not 100% healthy. I think that's pretty clear to see right now. But I think the Bengals defense was great last week against the Rams, has to shore it up on the ground, of course, against Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears. But this Titans team has not impressed me, Joe. I'm going to lay it with the Bengals as well, that 2.5-point number. Early on Sunday, Joe, over in foggy old London town, it's the Jaguars and the Falcons. This will be the 10th London game, Joe, for Jacksonville as the international series begins in 2023. They're priced as a 3-point favorite against the Dirty Birds with an over-under of 43.5. Joe, is there a home field advantage for Jacksonville even across the pond?
Yeah, I mean, when you play there that many times, Jacksonville is used to the situation. They're used to the locker rooms. They're used to the setting. They know what to expect. So, yeah, I think they deserve to be 3-point favorites, especially coming off that terrible loss to C.J. Stroud. That's not a knock in terms of what DeMeco Ryans did, but we talked about it all last week. You have so many injuries in the secondary and depletions, and Jacksonville could not take advantage of it. That was a terrible loss for that offense. Now, you look at Atlanta, they got shut down by Detroit. Dez Ritter, in terms of this situation, I'm still not sold. I'm not sold on Atlanta as a whole, and I still think Trevor Lawrence is the much better quarterback in this ballgame with much better weapons in the passing attack, right? Ridley going up against his former team. I like Jacksonville, but I like the over 43.5. I know typically when we see these games in London, it's typically an under, but I'm going to take the over as well. Give me Jacksonville and the over. Yeah. I like the over as the best part of this ballgame, Ben.
I think you can make an argument, Joe, at least out of contenders, that Jacksonville has been the most disappointing team so far this year, a 1-2 record. They allowed 17 points, Joe, to the Chiefs, and that was the least amount they have given up so far this year. They got bum-rushed by the Texans last weekend, 37-17 outright as an 8.5-point favorite. So Jacksonville needs to prove it over in London. They will be in London for two consecutive Sundays, this week in Wembley, next Sunday in North London at Tottenham as they get ready to host. I say host, but they get ready to play the Buffalo Bills. Another 3-point spread, Joe, on that key number. Speaking of those Texans, a home underdog of 3 against the Steelers on Sunday in H-Town, a total of 41.5. Lisi Guy, what's the breakdown?
You know, originally I thought Kenny Pickett and Pittsburgh, the way they played on the road, and I thought over 41.5. I think there's a lot of overs this week. I still lean to the over 41.5, but I really like the way C.J. Stroud is playing. I mean, he is confident in the system, isn't he? And Tank Dell, I mean, just the weapons that they have around him, they call the game to his strengths, and that's the one thing I love about the offensive staff and DeMeco Ryans. They understand what he's good at. They call a game plan around it. And as good as Pittsburgh played last week on the road in Las Vegas, it is back-to-back road games. They're laying a field goal. I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to go with Houston outright over Kenny Pickett. But I do believe the success for both quarterbacks continues through the air in a cheap number at 41.5.
No doubt about it, Joe. Give me my favorite bet in this game. Tank Dell over 45.5. C.J. Stroud knows him well. C.J. Stroud vocalized to the Texans, hey, go up and get this guy. Round number 3. An undersized wide receiver, 5'10", 165 out of Houston, that being the Cougs in college football, Joe. He was as good as you will find in the country. Top 5 in receiving yards last year in 2022. He's making an impact. 145 last week, 73 the week prior. His prop is 45.5. There is a relationship there between Stroud and Dell. He's going over that number as well, and I think it's a pretty close football game in Houston on Sunday. Joe, the Rams and the Colts, L.A. getting 1.5. It's -112 on the money line for Indianapolis, -104 for the Rams. Virtually a pick 'em, Lisi Guy. Who wins in Indy on Sunday?
Yeah, this could be one of my favorite bets of the weekend. I like L.A. in a bounce back. Again, I know back-to-back road games, and I understand Gardner Minshew, you know, stepped up last week. Anthony Richardson is back. But I think it's the rushing attack. Even though it was non-existent against Cincinnati, I think Kyren Williams and Matt Stafford bounce back in a big way. This is a young team. They're over-exceeding expectations early on with a first-year head coach. Give me McVay and the crew. Plus the 1.5. And more importantly, minus 104 on the money line. Do feel it's an under 45.5, but I lean to the experience of L.A. Love this game for the Rams.
Listen, Anthony Richardson has been really good this year. Of course, missed last week, and Gardner Minshew filled in the second half, week number two, to beat the Texans. AR has 3 rushing touchdowns, but there is that consistency that Gardner Minshew provides. We'll finish up our preview of the Sunday slate around the NFL on the other side of the break. We're going fast. We're firing off picks. We're moving into college football right after that. Joe, when you look at the division odds in the AFC South, by the way, Jacksonville's still the favorite, but just plus 135. The Colts have the best record. They're 2-1 so far this year. More on Football Full Circle. A rapid-fire preview of Sunday. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on FFC. All right, Joe Lisi guy, let's fire around. Sunday in the National Football League, week number 4. A couple of winless teams, Joe, still out there. In fact, 4 winless teams still remain in the National Football League. Somebody, you would think, has to pick up their first victory of the year. And all 4 teams, Joe, play another team that has an offer in the win column to start. Let's start in Charlotte, Minnesota, and Carolina. The Vikings, a 4.5-point favorite. The line continues to work their way, a total of 46.5. Both teams 0-3, Joe. Who gets the first win of the year?
That's a tough one. You know, do I have to pick this game, Ben? I mean, this is as ugly as it gets right now in regards to this matchup. I lean to Carolina. Bryce Young, 4.5-point dogs. I have no faith in terms of Kirk Cousins or, more importantly, O'Connell. I think that was the game that definitely just, like, ended the Viking season. I could see everybody imploding. What are they playing for right now? The way they lost that ball game at home to Justin Herbert and the L.A. Chargers, not sure. Last time Minnesota was there 2 years ago, they struggled as well when Sam Darnold was the quarterback. Give me Carolina plus the 4.5. I don't love it, but I'm going to lean to the over as well. I think points are plenty, but give me Carolina with the points.
I think I'm going Minnesota, Joe. I think the Vikings cover this number. It's working to a point where I don't love it, because one thing I know for sure about this game, it's going to be decided by a single score. I don't know necessarily who wins it. I think Minnesota does. Do they win it by more than a touchdown? I'm not so sure. And you're starting to lose that edge. You're starting to lose that margin. One thing I do know, Kirk Cousins is going to throw the football all over the yard. 74.5% is the pass play percentage for Minnesota. They are the only team in the NFL, Joe, that throws it at 70% or more of their plays this year. Kirk over 279.5. He has thrown for at least 344 in all 3 games. And the Panthers allowed 279 last week against Seattle through the air with a banged up secondary. NFC South showdown in New Orleans. The Saints and the Bucks, Joe. New Orleans a 3.5-point favorite. That over under is small, 39.5. We expect Jameis Winston to get the start against Baker Mayfield. Alvin Kamara, though, is back for New Orleans. That a positive sign offensively, Joe. 3.5 in favor of the Saints. 39 in the hook is the total. What's your best bet?
Well, you see, now the Saints are banged up, you know, and again, the way Baker played on Monday night was inconsistent. Again, I don't love Todd Bowles. I don't love Dennis Allen as head coaches, but I still feel that potentially the Saints defense can force some turnovers over Baker. Not sold if Tampa Bay could do the same on the New Orleans side. They weren't able to really shut down Jalen Hurts. I'm going to lay it with New Orleans. Total, this game is going to be ugly, right? We go under the the 39.5. Look for both teams to run it. Give me the Saints laying the 3.5 and under the 39.5. Again, this is one game from the spread perspective I really don't like either way.
Yeah, I would not bet this game, Joe, with a 10-foot pole. I think it's going to be close. I'll watch it. I'll see what happens. The Saints, just so you have the trend, have gone under in 12 of their last 13 games, all three this year for New Orleans, hitting the under. A big 8.5-point spread in favor of Philadelphia, Joe. In Philly this week, the Eagles and the Commanders, another divisional game. 8.5 is that number. Joe, Philly has been booked as the favorite in 22 of 23 games since the start of last year. The only game Philly was an underdog, Super Bowl 57 against KC. They are 19-3 straight up in those 22 games over the past now year plus. One of the three losses outright as an 11-point favorite came against this Commanders team last year in November. Will Philly win, Joe, and will Philly cover?
I think Philly will win. I think they cover, and I think the over is coming in. Again, Sam Howell going up against that defense, I think, is the issue. The front seven, they're not going to be able to run on them. That we know. Nobody's been able to run consistently on the Philadelphia Eagles, and that remains true with Brian Robinson and the offensive line for Washington. Now it comes down to the quarterback and the secondary forced turnovers. I think they can. Do I believe in Ron Rivera? No, I don't. I believe more in Eric Bieniemy than I do Ron Rivera, but at the end of the day, I worry about the Washington defense being exposed by A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. So, again, I think this is a huge matchup. Give me the Eagles laying the 8.5 and over in regards to the total, 46.5.
Yeah, Philly looked really good last week. The passing offense is coming back. Washington, I think, has some things they need to work through, Joe. I don't know if I'd lay the 8.5 right now with Philadelphia, but there would be certainly an area I'm looking at first half for the best first half team in the National Football League over the last 2 years. Chicago and Denver, Joe. Another one of those winless battles on Sunday. The Bears and the Broncos. Chicago at home, a 3.5-point underdog. The over-under is 46. Lacy guy again. Both of these teams have been disasters this year. Somebody, you would think, unless there's a tie, has to win the football game. Who gets win number one?
Yeah, this is easy for me. It's Chicago and their home. Again, I buy into more to Justin Fields. I know he was pathetic last week. I know the offense sucked. I know that this team has no identity, but at the end of the day, they have more identity than the Denver Broncos. I believe in Justin Fields more in terms of his athleticism and the ability, because he wants to win over Russell Wilson and where that team is from a mentality perspective. The way they gave up 70 points, this was supposed to be one of the most better or dominant defenses in the AFC this year, right? Top 10?
Yeah.
That's all we heard in terms of last year. If they could just score more than 17 points, they would have been 11-6 overall. No, they got absolutely abused last week by Miami, and it wasn't even through the air, Ben. It was on the ground. Devon Achane, 203 yards. Lack of tackling. Look for the rushing attack to take over. Give me the under with Chicago, but give me the Bears outright. I don't even need the 3 points.
Yeah, I'm going down with the ship, Joe. If the ship is going down, give me the Bears plus 140 money line. I mean, hey, listen, there's no handicap of why I think the Bears have an advantage. The Bears don't have an advantage in anything against the Broncos. I would actually look at the over, though, Joe, because the Broncos are allowing the most points in the National Football League. Of course, gave up 70 last week against Miami, but gave up 35 against the Washington Commanders the week prior. And even the Raiders scored 17 points. Points against this Broncos team week number one. And the Bears have been the worst scoring defense since the start of last year, still allowing more than 35 points per game on average. We're going to give it one last ride, Joe, with the Chicago Bears. Probably not going to work out, but why not give it a go, huh? All right. Afternoon slate on Sunday. Chargers, Raiders, 5.5-point spread in favor of L.A. I'll tell you what I like, Joe. The Raiders covering as a 5.5-point favorite. Why? Aiden O'Connell might be in line to get the start for Las Vegas.
Oh, come on, Purdue, stop.
Yeah.
No way. I have to buy into Justin Herbert. Now, Mike Williams is gone for the year. Look for Josh Palmer potentially to step up. Keenan Allen. I believe more in Justin Herbert than I do Josh McDaniels. And he's another one. Doesn't get enough negativity in terms of the job that he's done. He was supposed to be the savior of this organization after John Gruden left and Ralph Bisaccia took over that team. They should have made Bisaccia head coach because he got more out of that team with Derek Carr and Davante Adams than anybody. I mean, it's amazing the fact that they didn't want him there when he bought into the team mentality and actually game planned pretty well from an offensive and defensive perspective. Josh McDaniels sucks. Let's be honest. When has he won a big game? It's amazing. And I understand he's got Garoppolo. Davante Adams now is checked out. I mean, come on. This team is in complete disarray now. They've tossed it in after 3 weeks of the regular season. Justin Herbert, they bounce back in a big way. Don't love LA long term, but they get this victory against the Raiders.
Cowboys, Patriots in Dallas Sunday at the Star, Joe. A 6.5-point spread in favor of the Cowboys. Do you expect to see that bounce back out of the boys following a disappointing result in the desert last week against the Cardinals?
I do. I know this is potentially a trap game. It's Belichick and how bad Dallas played, but I don't see Mac Jones and that offense challenging them over the top. I just don't. Again, an average offense, no identity. The speed of Dallas from an offensive perspective should take over. Big game out of Pollard on the ground and in the receiving game, CD Lamb as well, and look for Brandon Cooks and Gallup to potentially step up. I think it's all Dallas. Back-to-back road games for the Patriots. Put it this way, Ben. If the Patriots weren't playing the Jets, right, they don't win that game last week. I'm sorry,
sure.
They just don't.
Sure.
15 points? Sure. Terrible. Give me Dallas.
And 13 of those 15 were offensively. Of course, a safety that Zach Wilson suffered in the second half. This Patriots team, Joe, is not great. I think they're going to be in a lot of football games, but it doesn't mean I think they're going to win a lot of football games. And I don't think the Patriots put up a lot of points in this one. 18.5 is their team total. I like the under. Why? Dallas got punked last week by the Cardinals offensively. Let's not mince words, Joe. It wasn't a fluke win. It wasn't a last-second field goal that allowed them to upset the Cowboys as a 12.5-point underdog. Arizona won that football game, being the better team on both sides of the football, and mainly offensively, Joe. Huge, explosive chunk plays. A 40-plus yard run from Joshua Dobbs, a 45-yard touchdown run from Rondale Moore, a 60-plus yard pass from Dobbs to Michael, to a wide receiver late in that football game to ice things away. Joe, I look at it right now. I think Dallas responds, though, defensively, letting everybody know, hey, we're not that bad on the defensive side of the football. Patriots, team total under 18.5. Speaking of those Cardinals, Joe, on the road in San Francisco, they're a perfect 3-0 against the spread. They won that football game outright last week as a 12.5-point dog. Joe, the 49ers, a 14-point favorite against these Cardinals. Can Arizona make it a perfect 4-0 against the spread and cover as a 2-touchdown dog?
I'm buying in now. Watch this. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I got the velvet sweatsuit on, maroon, and I got the headband on. I'm buying in. I'm part of the cult now. Here it is. I'm all in on Arizona. They bashed me over the head in back-to-back weeks with Dallas and the Giants, and now I'm going to jump on them, catching 2 touchdowns against potentially the best team in the NFC right now, San Francisco and Brock Purdy. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it one more shot. If they probably cover this game, and then I think they fall off a cliff. It's coming, but I'll buy in one more week, Ben.
Yeah, why not, Joe? They've looked pretty good. Testament to the Cardinals, more competitive than I think either you or I thought they would be. Two guys that have a couple of alternate win total unders on Arizona, not feeling too great about this year. All right, quick transition, Joe, to college football. 4 ranked versus ranked matchups this weekend, and I don't just say Saturday, I mean this weekend. A top 20 tilt tonight, Joe, in Corvallis. 19th ranked Oregon State, 10th ranked Utah. A 3.5-point spread in favor of the Beavers. 44.5 is the over-under. Joe, still no idea. Tons of uncertainty if/when Cam Rising is going to play. I don't think it's tonight. What do you think of this football game?
Yeah, whether he plays or not, I still buy into Nate Johnson. I buy into the secondary of Utah. and their physicality. Again, only 14 and 12 straight up on the road or on a neutral field. They got pushed to the limit earlier in the year against Baylor, but I did think they grind out a win. Put it this way, I'm not sold on DJU and the way they got pushed around last week by Wash State.
Yeah, you shouldn't be sold on DJU at this point, Joe. Threw for less than 200 yards against Wazoo last week. They did run it for more than that, though. Fenwick and Martinez combining for close to 200 on the ground. Even DJ Uiagalelei ran it for 61 yards and a score. I think the game is decided up front with the physicality along that line of scrimmage. All right, more FFC for just a few more minutes next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
All right, a ton of games on this Friday for college football as we round things off. But, Joe, three ranked versus ranked games tomorrow on a Saturday slate, week number 5. In Durham, it's Notre Dame and Duke. 11, Notre Dame. 17, Duke facing off the Irish, a 5.5-point favorite. In the Grove, it's 20th-ranked Ole Miss and 13th-ranked LSU, a short number in favor of the Bayou Bengals, Joe. It's only 2 and a hook. And outside of that, Lisi guy, of course, a big one in the heart of Texas. In Austin, it's number 3 Texas and number 24 Kansas, a 16.5-point spread. Lisi, what game are you most looking forward to on the Saturday slate in college football?
Probably the game in Oxford, LSU and Ole Miss, an elimination game. We know how good Jaden Daniels was last week and how bad Jackson Dart has been. LSU's won 6 of the last 7, 145-20 last year, and they lost last time to Matt Corral a couple of years ago. They're on the fence. Need to win it. I'll lay the 2.5 with LSU.
Yeah, me as well, Joe. Give me all the Jaden Daniels props you can for this football game. The passing yardage now out. It's 280 and a hook. I'll take the over. Thank you very much. The rushing yards prop for Jaden Daniels is out. It's 58 and a hook. I'll probably take the over there as well and lay the 2.5 with Jaden Daniels. Malik Nabers, by the way, 95.5, Joe, that receiving yards prop. Elsewhere, Lisi guy, USC, Colorado in Boulder. Big noon kick out there in the mountain time zone. USC a 21.5-point favorite. The total 73.5. Joe, who wins and how by much?
Yeah, I think USC wins. I think Colorado covers. And how about this? The over dropping down to now 72.5. I think this game gets into the 80s. Both quarterbacks back out. 500-yard performances. Give me the over.
I think the Trojans name their number. I wonder what Colorado will be able to do offensively. And if it's a lot, Joe, there's going to be some serious concerns about that defense under Alex Grinch and Lincoln Riley for Southern Cal. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Have a great football weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday.